The 20th gene key. The transformational path of the 20th gene key moves from superficiality to presence, and it's the path of self-assurance. The 20th gene key is pivotal if you wish to understand the gene keys. Its original name in Chinese can be interpreted as contemplation, and it means viewing, in the sense of viewing inwardly and of being viewed. At the shadow level of being, it's all about superficiality and absence, about not being aware of things or of oneself or even of others. You know, contemplation is an art, and the whole secret purpose of the gene keys is really to foster in us this forgotten art. And you notice I don't say here to teach us, but to foster it. Because contemplation can't be taught, it can only be cultivated, and it's the most subtle of all the arts. The art of contemplation, to try and understand it, it has three levels. And the first is simply this viewing. And you simply begin to look, and this is actually a difficult thing to begin, because you must realize that you've been absent, that you've simply been living on the surface of life, superficially. So you've been living your life without any real self-awareness. That's the dilemma of this shadow. It can be a painful revelation to look back on your life and see the debris field of your relationships and the litter of our dreams and the hurt that we've caused others. But this is where we have to begin, and then we have to learn to train this same lens on the present, on our current life situation and how we're behaving, both behind closed doors in our inner world and also in the outer world. And over time, we begin to thread an important connection, that our outer life is built upon the foundation of our inner life. And this is the first phase of contemplation. We also enter into a phase of intense learning that switches spontaneously on and off as we work our way into this shadow. And we begin to see the effects of our presence or our absence in the world. We see our mistakes when we were not considering the whole situation, or when we were aware enough to think about the feelings of others. You know, self-awareness comes and self-awareness goes. Sometimes we're absent, sometimes we're present. For long periods, we're simply absent. You know, days are consumed by our living in reaction, in stress, without even knowing it. And every now and again, though, we come up for air. An oasis of contemplation reminds us. We pause and we remember ourselves. It may be a yoga class, it may be a moment of inspiration or a creative burst of energy, it might be a gene key. We're reminded of how wonderful a moment of presence is. We spend a great deal of our time living in the shadow. And only at times do we pause to enjoy the sun. But this is normal. This is natural. It's the way of things. Evolution comes in its own time. If you look at the chop of this hexagram, its shape, you'll see it's kind of like a tower or an arch. And in ancient China, these towers were all across the landscape, and they're a symbol for gaining a higher view of the realm. And the arch also suggests an opening, an invitation to move from one space into another. And that's exactly what this gene key does. It calls us from within to enter onto a higher path, a path of awareness. Contemplation is not just thinking. It's a whole way of being. It's about viewing yourself from a higher level, an objective level. The whole purpose of gaining this view is so that we can learn to see how we create our own suffering. And great gentleness is required. And this too we have to learn. The two trigrams that make up this hexagram are the gentle wind and the earth. So we have to listen to the whispering wind of awareness and let it blow into all the corners of our life. And we're here to learn to be more considerate, to take things more smoothly, to see into the truth of who we are, and to see the depth of our superficiality. Reflect at the end of the day and see how present you were in total. How many moments of presence did you have in comparison to the moments of absence? It's not a competition. There is no judgment. It's just about seeing what is. And it's a hugely valuable thing just to see the superficial nature of your life in this way. The 20th gift, self-assurance. The second layer of contemplation is about viewing oneself in relationship to the world. And this is when the self-awareness really deepens and a moral view comes into play. And it's not imposed. It's simply there in every human being, but it requires a certain level of awareness before it can come to the surface. In this deeper level of contemplation, we don't only see ourselves in our behavior, we begin to feel the effect that our absence or our presence has in the world. We see ourselves through the eyes of others. We become more sympathetic to our environment. And once we begin to consider the effects of our actions and our thoughts and our words and our speech, once we see them deeply, that has a preventative effect in us. And certain addictive patterns begin to fall away and we learn how to be more altruistic and less harmful and toxic in our environment. And of course, this is still all a trial and error process, and at times we fall back into our old habits and ways, but gradually the awareness begins to show us that those old ways only lead to more pain. So slowly, achingly slowly, we learn. And when our natural inner morality rises to the surface, we feel more self-assured. We manifest the gift of this gene key. And it's a gift that makes us feel more human and gives us a deep sense of purpose in the world. To have awareness means to be open like that arch, to receive feedback, even criticism, with a certain equanimity. It's not that we're becoming a Zen master, but we're becoming more human. And in doing so, we're more integrated in the world around us. Awareness does that. It brings a sense of integration and calm. Calmness in our modern world, it really stands out. In fact, calmness, genuine calmness, has always stood out. A self-assured person is a calm person. And this isn't about confidence or charisma. Those are character traits. I'm talking about presence, the siddhi in this gene key. Presence is like the light, and absence is the lack of light. Presence is moving through this gene key in varying degrees. In the shadow, it's only an occasional visitor. At the gift, it's a regular friend who comes to visit, and whenever she comes, she brings a sense of calm and clarity. And if this is one of your gene keys, or you're drawn to it through contemplation, try and recognize how often you're truly calm. And see how this gift of calm can bring increased awareness and comfort to the many daily challenges that we face. And allow this calm to settle deeply into your soul. And when you're alone and quiet, feel it swirling around you and cultivate it. And how do we cultivate it? We simply make space for it to grow. Simplify your life as much as you can so that the new awareness finds it easier to take root. Keep your space tidy. Know where things go in your house. Let the daily rituals of your life sing out with this simplicity and beauty, rather than simply being meaningless tasks that you're trying to get done so that you can then enjoy some rare moments of presence at the end. Most of us listening to this or reading this are what the ancients called vaisyas, householder yogis. We aren't renunciates or monks, but we're people living in the world. And the householder path can still be deeply contemplative if you're able to establish the right rhythms for yourself. So you needn't only get to a deep state of presence during the rare retreats or the satsangs or whichever ways you use to connect to your source. Presence doesn't require a specific environment, but it does thrive in certain soil types. So it's advisable to create those spaces in your everyday life and to create those pauses where you can enjoy the seasons and the silence and come into a space of inner communion. The 20th city, presence. Contemplation gives you true power. There's a one-liner for you. When you learn the art of contemplation, you have more influence on the direction of humanity than the President of the United States. You may not see this on the surface, but it's true. A person living in presence affects the very air around them. They send off radiations of harmony that touch all quadrants of the universe. They're like the gentle wind blowing across the earth. The third aspect of contemplation is when the contemplation ceases of its own accord, and then you're no longer seen or the seer. You're simply presence, whether moving or still. Have you ever watched a single leaf falling to the ground with full awareness? Next autumn, I encourage you to do so. The leaf is utterly surrendered. The tree has let it go. And that's what presence is. It's that let go. In contemplation, you go on firing thoughts, deep thoughts at your core. You fire them from all angles. Then you fire feelings and urges and longings at your core, also from all angles. Everything you do or feel becomes an aspect of your contemplation. You use everything that happens in your life. This is the subtle art of contemplation. And one day, the tree just lets you go. You don't let go. It's a happening, and it goes on happening. Every day, the tree lets you go. Every moment, the tree lets you go. It goes on doing it over and over until that's all you are. The Chinese have this beautiful saying. It's from the Taoists. Chu Jian, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's really untranslatable. It means spontaneously arising, or the of itself, or it could also mean the one I like best, self ablaze. And it refers to the dropping of the leaf, to that moment, that mystery of that single never-ending moment. And to be in resonance with Chu Jian, it's the whole thing. It's the letting go of life and death that gives us our immortality. And this jinky's part of the codon ring of life and death. Presence is the only thing that survives death. Simply the presence. I call it the presence because alone of all the 64 cities, it requires the definite article. It is the definite article. The 20th city, it also represents the logos, the divine word, this notion of the word of God. You know, it's a great mystery. It's the sacred om. The tone of the divine, the mysterious octave. It's the breath of the divine, the contemplation of God on you. Because that's what we are. We are God's contemplations. We are his or her breaths. We don't really have a say. God is either present or absent in our lives. That's how it appears. That's the game, the in-breath and the out-breath. Now you see me, now you don't. But really the divine is there all along. It's simply in a process of revelation, and it's all revealed through presence. You know, you can't fake presence. That's why it's the most wonderful thing. You can try and force it, but it'll simply make you tight and uncomfortable. Because it isn't about will. It's about no will. It's about perfection. Every moment is arising through Chu Jian, whether you know it or not. Whether you see it or not. The city is there all along. How do we cultivate presence then? That's the great question of this gene key. I like to drink tea. I love fine and rare teas. You know, you choose your brew, you adapt it intuitively for the moment, you boil the water, you steep it, you pour it, and then before you drink it, you pause. You watch the cup and the steam, and you sense the aroma and the deep coloured liquid. And these are moments of presence. Presence enters. It doesn't require an elaborate ceremony. It just requires a love of the subtle. And then you drink. So this is how we cultivate presence. through a growing love of the subtle. Presence is everywhere, in everything. The weather needn't be calm. You could be in the midst of a hurricane, but the presence is there in its subtlety. You only have to look, not with your eyes, but with your being. And this is the beauty of the end of contemplation, that it fires back at you. It keeps breaking over you like a wave. It's endlessly coming to us. So find your tea, whatever it may be, and begin there. And one day, you'll no longer need the vessels, the cups. You won't even need the tea, because it's there in everything, ringing out like a bell, pouring itself all over you, inside your every cell, humming, "I come, I come, I come." Have you not heard his silent steps? He comes, comes, ever comes. Every moment and every age, every day and every night, he comes, comes, ever comes. Many a song have I sung in many a mood of mind, but all their notes have always proclaimed, "He comes, comes, ever comes." In the fragrant days of sunny April through the forest path, he comes, comes, ever comes. In the rainy gloom of July nights, on the thundering chariot of clouds, he comes, comes, ever comes. In sorrow after sorrow, it is his steps that press upon my heart, and it is the golden touch of his feet that makes my joy to shine. Rabindranath Tagore. He comes, comes, ever comes.